Well, we can't live. Every listener on the seat of their edge wanted to know if that fixed Angela's toilet.
Let's bring Angela back into the conversation, calling us from beautiful Tucson, Arizona. Okay, Angela, what's the verdict?
Nope, it still sings. It sings while it's filling. And I did turn the valve on and off at the wall, so it is fully on. But yeah, it still sings.
But it only sings while it's filling.
That's correct.
Okay. So if you still are in the bathroom with the lid off the tank of the toilet, looking down in there, you'll see some kind of a float device. Is it a rubber ball on a long arm?
No.
It's a little plastic cup that slides up and down a tube?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, that's a FluidMaster toilet valve. You just replace that FluidMaster unit, and your problem is probably going to go away. Something is stuck in that, keeping it from coming full on. It's taking too long to fill, and I believe that's what's creating the high reverberation noise. It's a fairly easy repair.
Well, that's what I will do. I will replace that right away.
All right, and when you're done, call us back, and we want to hear the toilet again. Okay.
That sounds great.
Okay, Angela, thanks for calling Rosie on the house.
And you're less than probably $10 or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe 20.
From Tucson, we go to Mesa and bring Alan into the conversation. Good morning, Alan. What are you up to today?
Yes. Good morning. I have a cinder block wall that got a little damaged the other day, Monday to be exact. The top row is a little bit loose, you know, and I was just wondering what would be the easiest way to repair that, to take the whole row of blocks off, or can I just kind of squeeze some?
Well, let me – did we lose it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What I wanted to ask him is what kind of wall it was and then how loose it is. If he could send us a photo image at info@rosieonthehouse.com, or he's calling in Mesa, bring that image over to Marvell Building at 1113 South Country Club Drive, Marvell Building Masonry Supply. They could give you an indication of the materials that would be required. If it's a wall like I'm thinking, every 8 to 12 feet, there's a structural column, and then there's narrow block filling in the actual wall panel itself. Removing that top row will be fairly easy. There's only mortar between the horizontal joints. There's no head and butt joints. You can remove it, lay another little bead of mortar. I don't know why I lost that word. Mortar. Or you can just make it easy on yourself.
Well, when you said a bead, my mind went to caulking, so I didn't jump in.
Well,
and I'm like, I'm missing something here.
And that was my next point, and I got trapped in between caulk and mortar, and nothing came out. The other thing is you can use a sanded caulk and just run a couple beads of caulk and then just reset that horizontal, and you'll be all set. Sorry, I lost you on the line. That's why they don't let me push any buttons. Hey, can I change the subject just for a minute? I don't know why. It may have been because of the newspaper article that came out about 2 weeks ago about the safeness of tap water. We have just gotten a ton of requests for information. Is my tap water safe? Is my tap water safe? Should I be drinking my tap water? So could we reach out to George? And I want to bring in George.
This is like the PSA hour. We had Bob with lightning buzzers on earlier.
I know.
Jennifer on her soapbox on roof rats. Now we're going to talk about the safeness of your tap water. And you know what?
How do you think Jennifer did on her first soapbox?
I don't think we gave her enough time.
Oh, okay. Think we need to bring her back in?
I think we got the point across.
Okay.
But a soapbox shouldn't be in a two-minute window. In Rosie fashion, we should have done that in like a 30-minute segment or something.
Well, I would say since people listen in segments, let's wait to maybe the third or fourth segment and just cover it a little bit more. And I think we're going to say it every week.
Okay.
I just want to yell it from the – I have gotten 4 phone calls since we
– Of people being taken advantage of?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
Jennifer's soapbox. Two-legged roof rats. And she's talking about two-legged roof rats in Sun City. This is really statewide. It's happening everywhere.
And I can't be without water. I carry water on constantly.
Yeah, you do.
And there is a monthly business group I'm in and that I actually bring two. These are 32-ounce insulated containers, so it keeps water cold all day. Because when I go to take a drink out of the water that's on the table, it smells so bad of chlorine, and it tastes so horrible. I can't. I am so spoiled by living on a private well for the last 14 years. I go to put my nose over something that came out of the city tap. I'm like, oh,
Romy's soapbox. Water. He's kind of a water snob.
I'm a water purist.
If you want to know the
snob,
truth,
it's water,
you want to know
purist,
the truth.
Just give me the plain water. So let's bring George from All About Water and one of our specialists to talk about the reverse side of that is waterborne illnesses are almost non-existent in the United States because of the municipality's treatment of water before it's delivered to the consumer. So, you know, there's plenty of reason for it, and there's regulation on it. Well, as a user, what can you do at your home at the end result? George, thanks for carving a few minutes out of your Saturday morning for us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
So, tap water delivered to your home.
Nothing to be scared of.
Tap water, yeah, tap water delivered to the home definitely does a really good job of our municipalities cleaning up our water, making it EPA safe, and removing that chlorine out of the water before it comes into our homes. Before it comes into our homes, and just can be a real nuisance, as we all know, like on our hair and our body and our appliances. So that's the biggest thing that our customers or people that call us in with questions are talking about is that high chlorine and what can they do about it.
Is that a hard – well, parts per million. Are there any – I'm sure there's a guideline that they all follow to
– There is, yeah. I believe the municipalities look at wanting to – they do like a year-wide, like average it out for the whole year. And I believe most of it looks to be about 0.5 to 1.0 parts per million of chlorine for disinfectant. Where we see really, really high chlorine, especially at this time of the year, where we get people that, like what you were talking about, is smelling that chlorine and then smelling even dead organic in the water. And the most common time of that is going to be our summer months because of our water being so warm in comparison to other parts of the nation. We just have a high breeding ground for the contaminants and the bacteria to grow. So we can even see chlorine levels exceed 2.0 parts per million coming into homes, which is extremely high. And that's when people are definitely noticing those smells, the odors, and the dryness of skin, irritation of skin as well.
And there's a reason they keep water heaters heated to a certain level is to keep that any kind of growth from coming. Well, it's not practical for us to heat the water to be delivered to your home at 128 degrees, so it's treated with chlorine. How hard is that to remove at point of use?
It's really not. We do a point of use and or a point of entry. So there's different things you can do for your home. The point of use would be like a whole home filtration underneath the sink or reverse osmosis. That's the most common way people are looking at removing those chlorine levels, dead organics, because of the chlorine removal as well, out of the water. And then we have point of entry, which would be like whole home filtration. It's only not necessary just for drinking water, but we bathe in this water. We do our laundry in this water. So a lot of homeowners are doing a whole house point of entry into the home to remove that chlorine out of the water as well.
What's the cost difference when you're going from point of use to point of entry? Because you're going from purifying, 10 gallons a day, maybe at point of use at the kitchen sink, to how many hundreds of gallons inside the home?
Yeah, and there's it really just differs, although on house, how big the house is, how many people are going to be in the house, and what you're going to be using. Usually what we do is we like to schedule just like an in-home consultation with somebody who's really concerned and is really bothering them to do something about that. And we have water specialists that can come in and go over a variety of different products, whether it's point of use or point of entry, and go over pricing and sizing that's going to work for the best application for their home.
George, thanks for a few minutes here Saturday morning. So nothing wrong with the tap water, but if you just don't like the smell and you don't enjoy it or you don't like the odor, it's there's a point of use and a point of entry. I like the way y'all have those broken up that homeowners can do on their own. All About Water is one of our certified partners for water treatment. You can find them all in the water treatment category at rosieonthehouse.com. And All About Water's, gosh, they're one of the oldest that have been with us.
Almost charter members.
It was 14, 15 years.
Yeah, been a long time. So, there you go. So there's water. We're talking a lot of storm damage. We're talking electricity. And I've told y'all that we're going to take one APS customer letter a week. So let's take a couple minutes here and just talk about the one I picked for this week. And I didn't pick one. I picked a topic because we had about eight letters that all came in from the letter I addressed last week that you're seeing your bill spike up quite a bit. Maybe you've got a 30 or 40% price increase month over month, year to year. Invariably, what we're finding there is people aren't realizing that if you were on time of use program before and you've moved to time of use program under the new rate, you must change all your programmable thermostats. You must change your energy management computer to operate in the new off-peak hours. They've shifted the peak 1 hour. So if your units are still coming on at 7 o'clock, you are registering a huge peak load in the on-peak charge period, and you're getting clobbered. We've been on this soapbox, and we've been on this, you know, position for about 9 months, telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready. Well, for those of you that didn't realize what we were saying, you get it now. You must move everything to the new off-peak time frame, which is 8 p.m. to 3 p.m., not noon to 7. None of you, whether you believe me or not, none of you at APS are currently on a noon to 7 program. You write me, you call me, you say, well, I'm on the noon to 7 program, and my bill went up 30%. You're not on the noon to 7. The noon to 7 doesn't exist anymore. You're on the 3 to 8. You must adjust your consuming habits to get out of the 3 to 8 window. Okay? Y'all got that? I'm not going to get any more of those letters, right? Very good.